Hi there, it's Ben and Kelly. Today on the podcast, we talk about those fun little hobbies that you get yourself involved in that you don't think are going to be too expensive until you actually get into it.
Oh yeah, they get really pricey. And then the horrible gift in group therapy? I wouldn't call it horrible.
Hashtag dip the bits. Find out. Then decide.
Okay.
And then how you got in trouble at work. And
Ben starts that off with many, 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 many examples.
Plus, you want to stick around and hear Destiny play our fun little Minute to Win It game.
I'm calling her Destiny the Juggler.
Yes, find out why in our podcast.
Ben and Kelly.
My daughter was watching YouTube videos per use, but one of them was Dude Perfect, and like they were displaying their new office.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean it's a huge warehouse full of crazy courts and backboards.
I mean, their last
and stuff
one was
like
amazing.
That.
They had like all this. It's like this giant area. They had like a putting green. They have a basketball court. They have
ice hockey
at some point. They
right.
have all of that.
Right. They have all that. They have special guests in it. And, you know, Tom Brady and Nate Bergazzi and
all these
people are in it.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So anyway, so, and one of the things that they were talking about was, you know, they are world record holders. And she was like, yeah, you know, they actually are world record holders. One of them was talking about for bowling or something like that, and she was like, yeah, but it's for like some trick shot or something like that, like the only person to be able to do this and this, you know, is like Guinness Book of World Records stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
So then I see this morning, unrelated to Dude Perfect, but a random Guinness World Record. All these people in Florida decided they wanted to get the world record for the most people dressed up as dinosaurs. And so
that's fun, like wearing that T-Rex costume that's hysterical.
Yeah, so there were 468 people dressed up as dinosaurs on Friday there at the Cox Science Center and Aquarium. They were trying to beat the record of 252 dinosaurs.
Breaking the world record for the most people dressed as dinosaurs.
Today, the Cox Science Center and the city of West Palm Beach, you achieved a grand total of 468 people.
Oh, wow. Blew it out of the water.
Congratulations to you all. You are officially amazing.
Yeah, it's just like, and I see these Guinness World Records, and I'm like, we should just someday go through and see what random records there are that seem like they could easily be broken, where it's, you know, the quickest sucking of a Capri Sun, like, for example. We tried to do that.
That wasn't as easy as you thought it was.
Right. We tried to do that.
We failed.
Things like that. I feel like
16 seconds off.
I feel like we could get into the Guinness World Records if we just looked at these random things, organized something, or just figured it out between you and I, and just did it.
Are you trying to organize something like right now?
Are we just going to brainstorm, not right now. but because we would have to actually look at the Guinness World Records and see what like categories there are, because it's a huge record book. I mean, there are so many random things in it.
But I feel like the weirdest things that people get in for, it's the first time anyone's done it. Like, it doesn't exist already. So I feel like that's the key, is coming up with something unique no one's done before, and then you don't have to beat anybody. You're just setting it.
Okay, so with the hopes that it'll last, because no one's going to be thinking, oh, I want to be the first person to
balance a paperclip on your nose while you're riding a unicycle for 30 seconds.
Exactly.
So you just have to come up with it, look it up first to make sure no one has done it before, and then you do it, you videotape it, you send the proof,
and
all the things.
And then, like the guys in Dude Perfect, you can call yourself world record holders.
Exactly.
for these random things, for these random sports.
Here's my question, though. Do all 400 and some odd people that were dressed in costume get a certificate saying you're a world record holder? Or is it like the person that organized it? Because if that's the case, that's kind of a bummer. Like, you're a part of it, but then, but do you get the credit with getting the official frameable certificate?
Yeah, I don't know who. I think probably the Cox Science Center and Aquarium gets the certificate.
Probably gets it, yes. Yeah. And then you get to just say, I was a part of that. Have any documentation, and then that's kind of sad, right?
Right, exactly. So, anyways, just a random, like, I saw that, and I was like, man, that's so dumb. That's so dumb. Just, all right, let's just get a bunch of dinosaur people dressed as dinosaurs here, and we'll be in a record book.
But think of the picture. That's kind of an amazing picture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and someone wearing that dino costume doing anything is hysterical. Like, it's never going to be not funny.
Yeah. Ton of people. Well, okay. All right. We'll tweet out the link so you can, like, see more of the story and all that stuff.
It sounds somewhat like someone's jealous.
At Ben and Kelly Show. No, I'm not jealous.
I feel like you are a little bit. There's a little tinge of it.
No, not jealous. I'm just almost using it as inspiration to, okay,
we
obviously
do this.
There are dumb things that get into the record books, so we just need to find our dumb thing. Yeah.
What's our dumb thing that's going to get us on the books?
Okay, I see you rolling your eyes and saying, your show's the dumb thing. all right, at Penn and Kelly Show.
I don't think
show,
we can document, though.
We'll tweet
though.
That out. So there are some updates to regularly scheduled things as a result of the wildfires there in Southern California. The announcement of the Oscar nominees has been pushed back. It's now scheduled to happen on Thursday, the 23rd. Show still set for March 2nd. The Grammy Awards will still proceed as planned on February 2nd. CEO just announced on Monday. So that's still going to take place. But they are going to pledge that the 2025 Grammys will carry a renewed sense of purpose, raising additional funds to support wildfire relief efforts and honoring the bravery and dedication of first responders who risk their lives to protect ours. So that's pretty cool. Some of the record labels are also going to be announcing that they have canceled their annual Grammy parties and donating their allocated money and resources towards the fire relief efforts instead. So, I mean, that's good to hear. You know, when you hear so much about, like, the egos of Hollywood, and it's like, well, we still need to celebrate ourselves, that they're actually going to postpone some of that stuff and put the money that they would have spent towards the relief efforts. So that's pretty good.
Well, yeah, I think they realize, like, this is not, like, the time to celebrate us. Like, we need to focus on all of the people who have lost everything right now. Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. Among some of the artists that are donating, Beyonce, Metallica, David Spade even tossing in some money. Remember David Spade?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then the major studios, you know, the film studios are going to be kicking in tens of millions of dollars for relief effort, too. So, you know,
I mean, just think about how long it's going to take to rebuild.
Oh, Pacific Palisades is flattened. I mean, it looks
like it's apocalyptic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really crazy. Like, it's going to be a long recovery. And at the same time, let's not forget about, you know, North Carolina. I mean, you have people living in tents still that you can't get to that are dying in the, you're just freezing from the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are so many people from those disasters that need help as well. So yeah. I'm hoping that people don't forget about them too, because that is still going to be years and years and years of recovery. And there are still a lot of people that need help there too.
Yeah, that's true. This is a setting the bar story, which is what, Kelly?
It's an example of what not to do, or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, whenever you see one of those, like, warning labels that seems obvious, like, warning, take food out of wrapper before eating, you know that, well, the warning's there because someone tried to eat it with the wrapper on.
Right. My favorite is remove the Pop-Tart from the pouch before you put it in the toaster.
Right. Right, exactly. So, this is kind of in that lane. If you can manage to make it through the day without eating your Christmas tree, then you're doing okay.
Eating your Christmas tree?
Yeah, this is in Belgium. Food agency had to issue a random seasonal health warning saying, don't eat your Christmas tree.
Okay, who and why?
Now listen, this isn't totally out of the blue, but we'll get to that. The alert says, Christmas trees are not designed to enter the food chain. There is no way to ensure that eating Christmas trees is safe, either for people or animals. There's no easy way to tell if Christmas trees have been treated with flame retardant or pesticides, and not knowing that could have serious and even fatal consequences.
All valid points.
So, it's not out of the blue, because I guess there have been some viral stories about how you can recycle your Christmas tree by including it in your cooking.
But how? Like, when else have we ever said, you know what, this dish needs some tree?
This dish needs some Christmas tree, a little bit of Christmas
some
tree.
Some bark, maybe a few leaves, right? Some sap. What? Right. I don't get it. I've never seen a recipe call for that.
Well.
And I don't cook a lot, but I've seen recipes.
There have been apparently enough that Belgium had to issue this warning saying, hey, let's not do that, okay?
I mean, I know that people are trying to do more organic things,
sure,
and, you know, a lot of vegan plant-based things,
sure,
are very popular.
Sure.
But let's keep, okay. All right.
I know. I'm telling you. We wouldn't have this setting the bar story.
Yeah.
If people hadn't been doing it.
Okay.
All right. So again, setting the bar. I don't feel like we need to really go over and over this because.
No.
You should know, but
yeah,
if you can manage to make it through the day without eating your Christmas tree, then you're doing okay.
Okay. I'm going to choose to think that we in America know that.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm trying to give us credit.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, that is your Set of the Bar story.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
So it's funny. I was talking with, my wife, recently about this seemingly cheap hobby that, we got my daughter Zoe in.
This turned out to be not so cheap.
Well, I have a couple different examples of that, but then would love to hear your response to this as well. But the cheap hobbies you got into that you found out, oh, that ain't so cheap.
Uh-huh.
All right, coming up, hang on. It's talking with my wife, and my daughter Zoe is in running, and seemingly cheap hobby. All you need is a pair of shoes and you in your body. You just go running.
Right?
That's it.
That's not it.
That's not. Okay, so me, I've been a runner for a while. So I know that thought and mentality, we were more talking about it from, oh, how silly sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I need, quote, in quotes, I need a Garmin watch to track my running.
Oh, of course.
I need a headlamp for when it's nighttime and I want to run. I need outfits for running. I need special underwear for running. I need special socks for running. I need special vests for running. I need gels and things like that if I want to go on long distance runs. And then... It's the, okay, let's go to races and let's enter ourselves into races and stuff like that.
Oh, there's fees for that.
So, yeah, exactly. So
maybe
so
travel.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, it's this seemingly cheap hobby of running turns into like, oh, it's kind of expensive. And then, you know, you don't just buy one pair of shoes and that's it. You buy a pair of shoes, and then if you really want to do it, you buy another pair of shoes, so you rotate those shoes.
Yeah, so they don't wear out.
So they don't wear out as often, and it helps your stride and your gait, and depending on what style of running you're going to do. Are you going in races? Are you going off-road? Are you going on-road? I mean, it is wild.
Are we going back to just like, hey, let's just run around the neighborhood?
You know, all three of my daughters were in competitive Irish dance. That, from the jump, we knew was not going to be cheap.
Oh, no. Those dresses cost thousands of dollars.
Yeah, dresses, wigs, travel, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's one of those things where it's like, okay, we kind of knew that that was going to be expensive. Didn't know maybe how expensive when we first got into it. But one of those hobbies that turns out to be quickly expensive. Tony texted us at 502-795-1997. Disc golf. Seemingly cheap hobby.
Disc golf?
Yeah, oh, wow. Disc golf. Yeah. Started out with 3 discs. It's free to play at most courses.
Sounds good.
And he's like, now I have over 40 discs.
Oh, wow.
A fancy bag.
Yeah.
Discs range from $10 to $30.
Oh, my goodness.
A piece.
Yeah.
And then
there you go.
Right. I was going to say, and then if you want to go to like the really good courses, maybe some of the courses are paid courses, you know, and you got to pay to go in there.
I feel like pickleball is falling under that as well, especially if you are really into it and travel to tournaments.
Well, one of our coworkers, Amy, her husband is huge
super pickleball.
Pickleball player. And we just got some courts at a park that opened up. And so, we went, bought the little paddle and the pickleball. And, you know, so yes, as you're saying, pickleball, it's like, you can get the paddles that are like $15 a piece.
Or you can amp it up with
$150 paddles.
And the fancy bags.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The paddles that are really expensive, right?
Because now I'm going to be a pro.
Right. So seemingly cheap hobbies that quickly become very expensive. You know, my wife and I were just joking that running seems to be, you know, what, very, very cheap. You know, it was like, from the outside, just buy a pair of running shoes and go.
Yeah, Jessica says my son used to be in Taekwondo. It was way more expensive than I thought it would be. All the outfits, the weapons like nunchucks, pretty pricey.
Another person said golf. Which,
come on now. I think
golf. That's an expensive
right?
hobby,
because the
right?
The clubs in and of themselves, my husband, we got the whole family to give him gift cards towards getting one putter. It was $400 one putter.
Yeah, but it's a really good putter.
Right. I'm like, is this going to guarantee it's going in every single time?
Oh my gosh. Someone said gardening. The first tomato is $100, but the second tomato is also $100.
Oh, wow.
And there is no third tomato.
There's no third tomato. All right.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Horseback riding.
That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah. Swifty Kim says being a Swifty. Yeah, I could totally. Seemingly cheap hobby. If you want to follow the tour around and all that stuff, for sure, that could get expensive.
Powerlifting, apparently. I don't know how. Laura from Shelbyville did not explain.
We're
just going to trust that powerlifting is pricey.
Yeah. Someone else said CrossFit. And one of my good friends, he is way into CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. There's competitions for that, too.
But, yeah, I was going to say, there like things that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
There's travel. There's conferences.
Yes. Yeah.
There's, like, expos.
Yes.
And stuff like that that you go to and you pay and you be a part of and all that stuff. So
crochet, when the yarn buying turns into collecting and hoarding.
All right, these are good. 502-795-1997. Just thought might be kind of fun. Seemingly cheap hobbies that quickly become something very expensive. Couple more real quick. Hobbies that turn expensive quickly when you think, you know what? That's not going to be that bad, right? Anything to do with equestrian life. I got a text from a listener.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
12-year-old daughter's love of horses went from $75 pair of boots to almost $400 weekend competitions, heated vest, riding pants, barn-specific shirts, fancy magnets to hold the numbers on, hair bows. Sure.
Yes, yes. Well, and I'll say competitive cheer.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in that world for a couple of years now, and doggies. I mean, especially when we kind of formed our own little club, which meant we had to design uniforms and buy them, which those are not cheap at all. And, you know, then there's the travel to competitions. The first year, we were doing a circuit that didn't have a presence in Kentucky. So, like, all the competition. We went as far as San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. But I know there are a lot of people in the competitive cheer world. They're like, uh-huh, sister, preach.
Yeah. From a listener, Shaq said swimming, swim caps, Speedos,
sure,
goggles, Garmin watch, pool membership. If you compete a race, cost of money.
Yep. All of it.
I mean,
anything that turns into competitive, yes.
Right. Well, and then Lindsay says reading books. That's a
reading
hobby.
Books?
Yes, like buying books. Or if you pay for a subscription instead of buying individual books, still pricey. So public library is where it's at.
Oh, wow. Ange says jewelry making is expensive. Yeah, it's all the supplies. And then trying to sell it if you want $100 for supplies and selling for $5 each. Unless I'm just a horrible salesman.
Amy said a little hobby of coloring.
Coloring is expensive?
I have $200 colored pencils. Plus,
I didn't know that they cost that much.
Plus, you can, well, I mean, not all of them cost that much, but good ones do.
But the really good ones.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say that plus the books, like you can get some really intricate books too.
Yeah.
Coloring books. So
they're like adult coloring books that are real, like intricate. Yes.
Not like adult, like naughty. Hey, yo. But
no.
Like, I'm sure there are those too.
Harder to stay in the lines than
anyways,
the kids' coloring pages.
Good stuff there.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Hey, Ben and Kelly, don't really want to talk to my wife about it just yet because I want to get my feelings in check first. Thought you both could help.
Okay.
My wife ordered a big inflatable hot tub for my birthday. And I don't want any part of it.
Oh.
Essentially, I don't see it as a gift. I see it as one more thing I have to maintain. So this feels more like a gift she wants for herself, which is fine. I'd be fine giving it to her, but I'd still be maintaining it.
Okay.
But I'm not owning something I don't want.
Yeah.
Further, I've been unemployed for a long time, and we're on a reduced income while my wife is on maternity leave.
Mm.
I think for all the pep talks about how we've got to save everything, I'm feeling a bit upset about the price and the fact that the item is non-refundable.
Mm.
So do I say something or do I just kind of like move on, reframe the situation as a blessing and just enjoy it with my wife?
I'll tell you, I just Googled inflatable hot tubs and I would enjoy it.
Oh, really? Like they're... I'm going to have to Google it, too.
I mean, I've seen real hot tub.
Yeah, we priced those.
It looks like the inflatables are between, like, I don't know, $600 to probably $1,000. So
that is much cheaper when you look at, like, actual hot tubs, which can run upwards of, like, $10,000,
$15,000
for good ones.
Yeah. So inflatable ones, I mean... 7-person inflatable round hot tub. You can get there at Lowe's, $540.
Really?
Another one for $761 there. Oh, that one looks good.
And those can be therapeutic.
I'm telling you. And especially like
muscles?
if your wife's on maternity leave, maybe she needs it too. Maybe you need it. Man.
I mean, this could be, if you lean into it, have you taken it for a test drive yet? Like maybe you just don't understand the benefits of it just yet.
Maybe I need to get one of these.
Oh, all right.
Wait, are you thinking, Aaron,
if you decide you guys can't afford it and you decide to go down that route, Ben might be a taker.
No, I don't want to buy a used hot tub.
Inflatable hot tub yet.
Because I just don't like, I don't know, there's something about maybe you laying in there with your bits exposed.
He hasn't dipped his bits in it yet.
We don't know if he hasn't dipped his bits in yet.
It's sounding like he has not.
Okay, maybe he hasn't, but he he should.
Okay, so wait. So you're saying, listen, if you haven't, maybe we can talk, but if you have, deals out, deals over. Like,
no,
I'm not taking the hot tub off.
No. I don't want him to sell it to me, because then because then his wife is going to be mad at me.
Oh, okay. So you, all right.
Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
You're a woman. You would get it.
I would?
Yes.
Okay.
Where if your husband's like, yeah, you know what? Hate that gift. And then he sells it to me.
He's not going to say that.
And then you're like, okay, please just suspend disbelief for me for just a half a second.
Okay.
And I buy it. I'm like, yeah, I got this new inflatable hot tub. You're like, wait, who'd you get that from? Your husband. What? And then you're angry. You understand?
No, I don't. That's a completely like fake scenario that wouldn't happen. Like no wife is going to come at you for buying something. Or if she's going to be mad at anybody, it's going to be your husband. But I'm saying is if he can go down the route of, listen, babe, we can't afford this right now because you know our situation. I'm out of work. You're on maternity leave. Like, we got to pinch some pennies. So this is a little too extravagant for right now. I appreciate the thought behind it. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, we can't afford it. Dawn says if it can't be returned, then you have two choices. You say something and forever it will be a sore spot and you'll never get right. enjoyment from it.
Right.
Or choose to enjoy it in spite of the situation and see it as a blessing.
Or
it's not
dip
going
your
away,
bits
so
in.
Do you want a daily bad or a daily good? Yeah. Yes. I feel like if you give it a test run, you'd be like, ow.
Yeah. Maybe heat that sucker. I mean, it's cold. Heat that sucker up.
Right.
Dip your bits in. See what's going on.
Why are we making this about his bits? Can we take his bits out of it? I'm just saying, like,
dip
this
her
can be
bits
full
in.
Body relaxation. It's good for muscles.
Right,
you're like achy and all sorts of things. Like, it can be. And listen, I think I've heard about people that really enjoy the hot tubs when it is cold outside. Like, that can be.
Oh, I know. Awesome. Yeah. I know. Yeah. All right. 502-795-1997. I don't know if you've got a take on this. Maybe you have been in an experience where you had to pick your battle with an extravagant gift, quote, for the family, it seemed, as opposed to for you, and you had to deal with it.
Well, maybe she looked at this as like, he needs to relax. It's stressful being out of work. And
yeah, maybe
this is something that can give him a little enjoyment, make him feel pampered, you know, give him some relaxation.
All right.
And then he can get out there and get that job.
All right. 502-795-1997 is our number. Take some of your stories and thoughts on that. Coming up, inflatable hot tub looks inviting. But Aaron messaged us and was like, hey, got one as a gift. Don't like it. We're not financially in a spot where we can afford it. And I don't want anything to do with it. My wife got it for me.
Yeah. Lisa says on text, there must be a reason she thought he would enjoy it. Just be grateful. Mm-hmm. Or just talk to her about the cost of maintenance and how it's not feasible now. Either way, save it for when things get better or put it on Marketplace. So she's kind of going back and forth. Here are some options. If you do want to go down the route of, babe, I appreciate it, but we can't afford it right now. And
yeah,
that's how you can do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's really the two camps that a lot of people are separated in. Either sell it because you can't afford it right now, or enjoy it. Kristen says enjoy it with her wife. What's done is done. I understand the frustration, though.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, the frustration and definite like financial stuff is one of those huge things that you need to be on the same page with your partner.
Right, because he's been stressed out. He's been out of work, and then she's on maternity leave, so they've been having to like pinch pennies. Stacy says, oof, on Facebook, tough spot. She probably looks at it as a gift for both of you. Being postpartum, she might be just hanging on to her sanity with the new baby. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's trying to give you a way to relieve stress and have something you both can enjoy together.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to her about it, but try to be as nice as possible. I understand the monetary burden going on, but her heart is probably in the right place.
Yeah, and that's what I go back to. Like, the heart is there. Like, she wants it to be something that they can enjoy, maybe enjoy together. Maybe they can rekindle something that, you know, maybe she's feeling like his frustration too. And Aaron, your frustration is bleeding over to other parts. And
you have a lot of stress on you right now, both of you.
You've got
a lot going on. You've been out of work. She's, you know, dealing with a new baby. I'm sure she's feeling the pressures of all of that, too. And it's a tough spot. And maybe she thought, you know what, we need something.
We need something that's exactly
to
so
help us relax and bring back our sanity.
So Aaron, dip your bits
muscle
with your wife.
Relaxation.
Dip your bits with your wife.
Your bits don't need relaxation. Your full body.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they do, Kelly.
Listen, being postpartum, she's probably not worried about his bits right now.
Well, her bits need to be
okay.
Relaxed.
All right. Listen. Stop. It's about just full, it's mind, body, and soul.
Listen, if nothing else, Aaron, take from this discussion this, that you have now given me a reason to research getting an inflatable hot tub for myself.
See, look at that. See? You've inspired Ben. He might take the plunge
if you take
into
nothing
relaxing
else.
His bits because of you. That's great.
I will enjoy, because of your frustration and pain,
yes.
I will enjoy an inflatable
yes,
hot tub.
Alexis, Ben is unhinged. Yes, that happens often on this show.
What am I unhinged about? I'm just saying, hey, dip the bits and enjoy. And I'm saying enjoy.
You tend to zero in on awkward, unrelated issues here.
Oh, no. Your bits are definitely related to an inflatable hot tub. But anyways, yes, I think, well, at least I am landing on, and Kelly, I think I'm hearing you say the same thing. Understand that your wife's heart is in the right spot, and maybe you're going to have to cool down a little bit. Maybe dip the bits and then realize, ooh, that does feel good. And then get your emotions in check before you have a conversation.
Just so we know how to properly use it. You dip more than your bits.
Yeah.
You submerge your body and relax.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. And maybe you don't quite understand how nice it can be. So give it a test drive and you might be more on board.
Yeah. And, you know, find other ways to pinch a couple pennies here and there. And
good luck on the job search.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, hey, keep us posted. That is group therapy. Okay. It's time to play everybody's favorite game. The Big Top Balancing Act, a.k.a. Minute to Win It, okay?
I love how everything becomes everyone's favorite game.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't it be? Let's introduce you to Destiny, calling us from Clarksville. Hi, Destiny.
Hi.
Destiny has
so
got bleach blonde hair. She drives a pink Mercedes.
Oh, wow.
She's self-employed.
Nice.
And she is currently juggling some partners.
Oh, what an interesting little bio. I mean, you had me at the pink Mercedes, but now we're juggling some partners and we got lots going on.
Listen, Destiny's heart is an ocean of secrets, Kelly.
Why? Well, you know, sometimes you got to try some shoes on before you find the right pair that fit.
Isn't that right, Destiny?
Or you can have them all.
Or you can have them all.
Yes, girl. I hope you have a good organizer.
Oh, shoot. I love it. I love it. Destiny's a trip. All right, Destiny, we're gonna put 60 seconds on the clock. You're going to have to balance your time with your pop culture knowledge, okay?
Just like your partners.
That's right. That's so right. Oh, and we've got a 4-pack of tickets to the Cardin Circus for you. I forgot. All right, your timer will start when I finish asking the first question. Are you ready?
As ready as I can be.
Okay, good.
She's ready good. For lots of things.
All right. Have you pulled your pink Mercedes off to the side of the road? Are you safe?
Safety first.
I'm safe.
Okay.
All right. She can multitask. She's proven it.
That's right.
Yes.
I am oddly impressed.
Oh, we want to have longer conversations with you for sure off the air.
All right, yes. Destiny, here we go. First question. The title Spare is the name of the book written by which prince in 2023?
Prince Harry.
Yes. Which actress starred as Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games?
Jennifer. Oh, what is her name? She's from here.
Yeah.
Jennifer.
You want to pass and come back to it?
Lawrence.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What iconic sitcom features the fictional coffee shop Central Perk?
I have no Central Perk. Pass.
Okay, what is the name of the K-pop group known for hits like Dynamite and Butter?
BTS.
Yes, what animated movie features the song Let It Go?
Frozen.
Yes, what singer had a Las Vegas residency titled Adele? Weekends with Adele.
Adele?
Yes.
Okay.
Who is known as the queen of talk shows?
Pop shows. Kelly Clarkson.
Ooh, no. Oprah Winfrey. Oh, wow. You only got through seven there.
To be fair, that last question, Oprah's been out of the game for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not. No.
Okay. All right.
I bet Kelly Clarkson's like, yes, I am.
You know what?
I am the queen of talk
shows. I'll give you Kelly Clarkson, but Oprah Winfrey was kind of known as the queen of talk shows. That's why that was.
We can say former queen.
She gives away everything for free.
You're right. Yeah. Former queen. Yes. So anyways, she passed on number three. Which iconic sitcom features the fictional coffee shop Central Perk?
I was not. I like How I Met Your Mother, not Friends. I know everybody's gonna hate me for that.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
that's
that was Friends.
Okay.
That
it's
was
been
Friends.
Off the air for a while too.
But I will say you got everything else right, other than the Queen of Talk Shows, which we're kind of giving you a half a point on. So you got through seven out of ten. That ain't bad.
That is respectable.
Respectable score there, Destiny.
Yes. I've been watching Pop Culture with Colin Jost.
No,
whatever.
Colin Jost?
Colin Jost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
if
okay.
You watch that, it helps out a lot. It's like Jeopardy.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, well,
there you go.
There you go. Man, that's research.
Destiny has so many things she's juggling right now on her plate. I love it. All
just
right?
Like the circus. And here's what I want to know. You have tickets. Like, who are we going to take?
Did yeah, let's
take
not
our
worry
harem
about that.
Together?
Let's not worry about that.
No. Okay.
All right.
No. Do they all know about each other?
They've seen each other.
Okay, but that means they may not know the significance of each other. Oh, this
right.
is just
Destiny.
You are a book of fun that I'd love to keep turning the page.
That's
on.
Right. That's right. We all love you, Destiny. Thank you so much for being a part of our show this morning.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. I
hope she appears in group therapy at some point.
No,
I need to know more.
One of her juggling partners will be appearing in group therapy.
No,
it's all good, Destiny.
It's all good.
Again,
we're just shoe shopping right
That's
now.
That's all we're doing. Yeah, we're just trying on as many shoes as we can.
Which one fits?
Before we get too old. All right. I'm going to put you on hold a quick sec, Destiny. Thank you so much. Hang on the line a quick sec, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
It's not just what pair fits. It's she has a closet of shoes.
What?
And it's all fabulous.
Which one looks good on me today?
Exactly. That's what it is.
Oh, shoot. Love it. Feel good story. Do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly Kay.
So a man recreated a scene from The Wedding Singer to propose mid-flight. Sam and Lissy are big movie lovers, so he decided this was the way he wanted to go. They were traveling to Mexico on her birthday, Christmas Eve. Sam surprised her with this performance. He managed to smuggle a ukulele onto the plane without her knowing and worked with flight attendants to kind of create these code words to pull off the surprise. Now, this happened halfway through the flight from Charlotte. So you remember in The Wedding Singer, Adam Sandler comes walking down the aisle of the flight to surprise Drew Barrymore with this song.
Let me do the dishes in our kitchen sink. Put you to bed when you've had too much to drink. Oh, I could be a man who grows old with you.
He's singing to Drew Barrymore there, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Super sweet. Everybody in the flight's clapping. So the audio from the actual performance that this guy did on the plane is kind of drowned out by the noise of the plane, but everybody clapped. He gets down on one knee. She says yes. And it's a really sweet moment. You can see the Instagram video and, you know, relive that scene from the movie at WDJX.com.
She said yes. Woo! Yeah, kind of a cool moment there. Yeah.
She said yes.
Still would have been awkward to witness, but yes.
Oh, listen, I know you hate public proposals, mm-hmm. but it's really sweet. Like, the flight attendants were super excited.
Oh, I know. They were
excited. You could see
yeah.
them in the background, like, getting video on their phones and everything.
I know. It was
and
cute.
You kind of see the behind-the-scenes prep. She's like, are you ready? And she's, like, really getting...
Pumping them up.
Yeah. yeah, bumping him up to go because they start singing on the intercom and then he walks out with the ukulele. It's really cute.
Yeah. Sometimes you have a little whoopsie at work. Sometimes it's just between you and the wall. Other times it's a big issue. It's 99.7 DJX. So we have a colleague that works in radio. He's making a video for Instagram, you know, doing content, hashtag content. Basically spit a mouthful of water on the audio board. Now, a little behind the scenes, you know, we have an audio board that's electric. And you know, water and electricity don't necessarily mix.
Yeah, electronics, they just don't like water.
Yeah, it shorted out a couple of the, like, slides that we have. The engineer, furious. The guy said yes, he was embarrassed, he knew better than to do anything like that, sure. I mean, it's been kind of a long time rule here, and knock on wood, nothing since we've moved studios has happened.
There was a rule that was like, oh, no drinking or no food in the studio for a while, or like, you know, make sure you got like a sippy cup tumbler.
Well, to be fair, it's always been a rule. As right. kind of the blanket sort of thing for, so when people break the rule and then something happens, it's like, well, we have the rule, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, the guy claimed he didn't really expect any of the water to actually go into the audio board. First time he's ever spit or got water on the audio board in his entire career, so to speak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he didn't get fired or anything like that, but. I mean, when it's like a radio station and you use the audio board to broadcast, yeah.
That's problematic.
Yeah, that is very problematic. It could take you off the air. It could cause issues with actually broadcasting on the air, things like that. So
and when that's your product, that's a problem.
Yes, that's a huge problem. So, you know, I mean, I remember doing... that at an old radio station that I worked at, I spilled an entire cup of coffee on the audio board.
Oh
man, thinking back, I was so dumb with how I had with how I did it.
You've been a little bit of a learn by example kind of a person for much of your career. We're learning.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I have.
Which is great when you're the boss.
Well,
like, you still got to be the boss.
Well, I wasn't then, and this was at an old radio station in Indiana, but this was back when we played CDs, compact discs, and I had put a coffee mug that had full coffee up above on a shelf, like there was like a larger shelf that was kind of about 2 feet above the audio board, the audio console, right?
And you're like, there's no way I'm going to hit it up there.
And so I set it
totally
up.
Totally safe.
Up and out of the way. Yes, exactly. Well, fast forward like 15 minutes or so, or 5 minutes or whatever, and I hit eject on one of the CD things, and the little carousel starts coming out, and it hits the coffee mug.
Oh no.
And I see it in slow motion, and it just falls completely onto the audio board.
Oh.
Everything shorts out immediately. The station goes off the air. Yeah, I mean, it was instantaneous.
Oh, gosh.
Like a 50,000-watt radio station.
You brought it to its knees.
80 miles radius, just completely floored into its knees. And it took several hours to get back up on the air. And so, yeah.
Which, if you don't know how things work, we pay bills by playing commercials.
Yeah, loss of revenue, loss of all that stuff.
Don't play lost revenue.
Yeah, so I got... A stern talking to, and that was how I got in trouble doing something similar. Now, thankfully, I've not done anything like that, you know, while working here.
No, we won't knock talk about wrecking wood, the station vehicles.
Knock on. Okay. Thanks for bringing that back up. Yes, swearing on the air. Yes, I've done it. Yes, wrecking vehicles. Yes, I've done that too.
Yeah. Again, you have lived out several examples of what not to do.
Yes, aired callers on the air that have said naughty things. Yes, all right. That stuff. So yes, yep. But so what we were wanting to know is how you got in trouble at work. All right.
My favorite is when we played a song that had a swear word in it while we were doing our show live in front of a radio class.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh, my
gosh.
That
was great.
Yeah, and the best part about the whole thing was we had one of our fun listeners decided to write the FCC.
Ooh, they did?
Yes, and tell the FCC on us.
Oh, dang
it. I forgot about that. Yeah, no, I was in meetings for that one. That was for sure.
Oh, let's all decide as a group that if you ever hear that happening.
Yeah, will you give me a heads up first?
Just assume that was an oopsie.
Yeah.
Like, we don't typically mean to do that.
Right. And if you could just give me a heads up on it first before you go ahead and let the FCC know, that would be great.
Yeah, you don't have to chill on us. Snitches get stitches.
Snitches get stitches. Oh, shoot. All right. 502-795-1997. Would love to hear your how you got in trouble at work stories on the way. So how did you get in trouble at work? I'm going to try to keep people anonymous. So if you text in, even if we have your name, we're not going to say, just in case.
Okay. So this one guy said, I accidentally drove a forklift through the boss's driver's side window of his truck while working at a greenhouse. Didn't get fired, though.
I got another one, a text that said, I used to work in a doctor's office program that we used to send medical bills. Also had a little instant messenger. I accidentally discovered it one day and started messaging my coworkers and friends. Most of it was harmless, but because I was over the job, I started talking smack about a lot of people.
Oh, no.
Then there was a snitch.
Oh, gosh.
That told on us and the instant messenger. And apparently, the manager can literally pull up everyone's conversation and see exactly what was said. And I had a very huge file of all my messages printed out and waiting for me when I had to go in and talk with HR.
Oh.
Thought it was going to be fired, wasn't, but I did leave the job shortly after.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, my. When
they print out all the receipts.
When
like,
it
can't,
is presented.
You can't deny that.
Yeah, yes. When it is presented to
boy.
You. What's funny is, you know, we have the little display on your car radio. Like, you know, if you're in the car right now and you look, it might say, you know, 99.7 DJX. It might say the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show. It might say, you know, the song and the title that's playing. Well, there was another colleague many years ago that changed it. So it would shout out one of his friends or something like that. So displayed, and this was up in Chicago. And and so like millions of people looked at their car and saw, instead of like, you know, Sabrina Carpenter or whatever was playing, it was like, hey, Brad.
And hysterical.
She got fired.
No, really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a fun break. Now, if it said something naughty, you should be fired. But just for like, hey, Brad, could be fun, like a fun little viral moment to get you some attention.
Yeah. We got a couple more we want to get to here in just a little bit. But yeah, if you've got one, 502-795-1997. One involves not smiling. And
what an offense.
Another involves a costume for Halloween.
All right.
All right, we'll get to those coming up. How'd you get in trouble at work? Quick message from a listener. I drag raced the electric wheelchair cart things.
Oh, gosh.
At closing time at my work.
Oopsies.
The owner and manager walked out of the office and found us.
Oh, oops. Oh, we were just putting these back.
Yeah, didn't get fired, though, but wow. All right. That's good.
That's great. I got another one. I got fired from Dunkin' Donuts for not smiling enough.
Whoops.
Ooh.
All right.
Customer service, they need friendly faces.
Yeah. Now, you're not going to say where this is, but it was a hospital, right?
It wasn't completely me, but Halloween, at a hospital I worked at, you were allowed to dress up, your team dressed up.
Yeah.
So it was a psych hospital, and a whole group of people dressed up as Orange is the New Black. They didn't, I don't think they, maybe somebody got fired, but it was really inappropriate. It was an adult unit, and at least, I mean, Orange is the New Black was popular.
It was popular. So. That was justified. That's funny. Thank you.
Wow. I mean, they probably should have had a little like, hey, let's come up with some ideas. Let's kick some ideas around.
Yeah, let's round table this a little bit more, you know, maybe, you know, hey, all right. But
then somebody would have been like, do you think?
So I remember when, again, Halloween costumes at work sometimes are the catalyst to getting trouble at work, right? Uh-huh. So, but this was literally our boss a bunch of years ago. It was just in bad taste, I guess.
Okay.
So we had just taken a legendary rock station off the air and flipped it and to like another format, right? Like a talk format, I think. You know, a lot of the people who worked at that radio station no longer had a job, and so they were let go, right? So that this happened like, you know, a Labor Day. So that Halloween, our boss literally dressed up as the ghost of that station. It was like,
oh, wow.
What are you doing?
Oh, wow.
What are you doing?
Ouchie. When it's a violent change like that.
Shoot.
Format.
Again, it was just, it wasn't anything that was like illegal or anything like that. It was just kind of in bad taste for the people who were surviving, you know, the employees. But anyways.
Well, yeah. I mean, fun fact, that kind of reminds me. So like my first job in radio was when 102.3 was Mix 102. It was 80s and 90s. My first job in radio was middays. And then like after a year, company bought it and they were flipping the format, but they played I Am the Walrus for 2 months over and over again to signify bringing back LRS 102, legendary rock station. And I'm like, okay, they're telling me the whole time your job is safe. And then they bring in a new guy and I find out on Labor Day weekend, we're not going to need you to come in anymore. And that is how I got fired from my first job in radio.
Not really how you got in trouble, but yeah.
No, but yeah, I got fired.
Tony said, oh gosh, no, not Tony. Never mind. Someone else, said, played music over the ambulance intercom at 2:30 in the morning through town. Got in trouble that way.
I was bored.
Yeah. That wasn't him. That was someone else.
It was somebody else.
Yeah.
And here's another one. I was 16 and my friends and I stole a bunch of beer from the walk-in cooler. We drank like 2 cases in the parking lot and passed out in the back of my pickup. The boss woke us up and fired us.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Oh, shoot. Another, we'll get to one more here. How you got in trouble at work a few years ago, used to work the night shift. Bunch of friends of mine at night pretty much did the same thing as the other story with the motorized carts. We took the motorized carts out to the parking lot like Mario Kart around the parking lot until we ended up getting caught. That is hysterical.
Gosh.
I love it.
Did they not think about cameras? Because a lot of businesses have cameras outside, too.
Well, maybe that was before cameras, or maybe that was why they got cameras.
Okie dokie.
Never know. Anyways, hey, thanks so much for the stories there on 99.7 EJX. And if you did get in trouble, hopefully, you know, you're in a better spot now.
And feel better that you weren't alone.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Lake Superior State. Every year they do this. List of banished words that you should refrain from using in the new year. Now that we're in the brand new infancy of 2025. Now they release.
I've always ignored their list, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it really makes any sort of difference that they have this list, but it's interesting to hear some of the words that they've deemed, words and phrases they've deemed banned or banished for 2025.
Uh-huh.
Things like cringe.
Cringe? We can't say cringe anymore. That's so cringe.
Yeah. The reason overused. Game changer. That's a game changer.
But it works.
Again, overused. Find a new phrase. That's what they're saying.
Okay, well, give us an alternative then. What are we supposed to say instead?
Of game changer?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answers here. Oh. Banished words. Era. Like, I'm in my radio era right now.
Got it. No, I get that. That has been massively overused.
Thanks to, Taylor Swift, probably behind all that. Another banished word, dropped. Like, my new album just dropped.
We've been saying that for years and years and years, and now all of a sudden, not cool.
Yeah, they're saying words like released and introduced should be used instead.
That's boring!
The IYKYK.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. Irritating and nonsensical. It just seems forced. And
what are we supposed to use instead?
And alienating people. Where?
Oh, right, because if you don't know, then you're on the outside. And then you feel bad.
Exactly. Sorry, not sorry. Another one. Banished for 2025. That phrase, sorry, not sorry, kind of a half-hearted apology masquerading as bold honesty.
Still needed, though.
Just say... now, I don't know if you'll agree with this one or not, Kelly, but this one. Skibbity, bum, 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 yes, yes. Skibbity, bum, 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 yes, yes. Skibbity, bum, 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 yes, yes. Skibbity,
bum, 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 bum. Okay, so my kids use that, and I don't know if it's good or bad. Is it an insult, or is that, like, what does it mean?
It's multi-meaning. It can mean cool, bad, dumb, or it can mean nothing, a filler word.
Okay, so again, I agree with, because we don't even know, we can't agree on
what
it
means. So yeah, banish
it.
Yeah, there you go.
But that is aimed at the middle school set.
Gen Alpha.
The only people, yes, that's the only people that are using it, middle schoolers.
100%. Should be banished. Like, I agree with you 100%.
Well, I have amped it up to 1,000%.
Oh, well, maybe that's better because
I mean it more.
It's just been overused. So again, utilize, that's one that just makes you sound smart. You can use other words for that. That's a banished word for 2025 according
to
Lake
Superior.
You
can't say utilize?
Yep. And then period. Like, it's the best show on TV, period.
Like all caps. Like, end of conversation.
Right.
Don't come at me with anything else.
It's just overused. A phrase that is overused that we just need to end. So, I don't know if that's including all, like, sort of grammatical sort of things, like, in quotes or hashtag naming the things that should just be written. But
again,
who made them
the decider of all the things?
Well, again, those who are the originators tend to be the ones who
drive the
ship. So they have been making this list now for decades. And
And we've been ignoring it for decades.
And we've been ignoring it for decades, and we can continue to ignore it for decades.
I mean, remember when they told us that we couldn't use LOL anymore? Never stopped.
Kelly's just gonna plow through. That's right.
Exactly.
It's like the Bob haircut. Never goes out of style.
Yep.
Why change it?
Noted, not changing it.
Setting the bar stories are what, Kelly?
Examples of what not to do, or situations we hope you don't find yourself in.
Look, if you can manage to make it through the day without leaving plates of bananas on your street corner, you're doing okay.
Why are we leaving plates of banana on the street corner?
Yeah, that's what everyone's trying to figure out.
Okay.
It's happening in Nottinghamshire, England.
Nottinghamshire, England?
Yes. It's a grappling and bizarre mystery. Someone leaving plates of peeled bananas at a street corner, and they've been appearing there every month for over a year.
They're peeled bananas on the street corner?
Yes.
Who's doing this?
And apparently they show up on the second of every month.
Oh, it's poppycock.
No one can seem to figure it out. Some people are thinking that it could be for wildlife. Some people think it could be a religious offering. Some people have no clue.
And no one is stepping up to say, yeah, that's me and this is why.
In fact, there are now signs that say, please, respectfully, no more bananas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it sounds wasteful. If they're peeled, like, no one's going to go and eat them.
Yeah, it says, the uncollected plates and rotting bananas leave such a mess.
Yeah. And so has there been, like, a consistent person that's been cleaning it up every day?
So I don't really know if anybody in the actual town of Nottinghamshire that is an authority is looking into it, or if there are any detectives on the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, you probably could just set up cameras, because it is the year 2025 and there are those things that exist.
Genius idea. No one's thought of it yet.
I mean, things maybe run a little slower there in Nottinghamshire, England.
Great, Scott. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I guess there is a there is one resident that at least tried to take down the sign saying, I don't really want to make it a feud. I don't want to become a big thing. But I think
it's kind of littering when you think about it.
But she says, I kind of think it's a special thing. And I wish these bananas and whoever they're intended for well.
But I think the problem is that whoever, if they were intended for anyone, they didn't get the memo.
They're not getting the memo, right?
They're not picking them up. They're just rotting on the street corner. That's the problem.
Exactly. So that's kind of the setting the bar story. And
we can't even really call them the banana bandit.
No,
because they're not
stealing anything. No.
They're gifting.
They're offering as a gift.
Offering it up. No one's taking them up on it, though.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. So, again, there are a lot of different ways that you can help. You can show your appreciation, but
lots of ways you can slice it.
Leaving peeled bananas on a street corner to rot is probably not the way to go.
Maybe they think there's like a stray monkey in the area that needs to be fed.
Yes, maybe a stray monkey.
Maybe there's a stray British monkey.
That is probably the case.
But
Anyways. Apparently
the monkey's not getting the memo if the bananas are just rotting and no one's eating
them. Yeah, maybe not. Anyways, that's your setting the bar story on 99.7 DJX. It's Billie Eilish. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the cheap hobby that you thought was going to be inexpensive when you started it, but then it turns out that, nope, not. It turns into something expensive. It started with, you know, me and my wife kind of talking about running, because running, you just need a pair of shoes, right?
Right, and then you just run.
Yeah.
There's no other equipment really needed.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out there is.
Yeah, nothing needed there, except then you dive into the wormhole of, oh, maybe I need to get a Garmin watch. Oh, maybe I need to get another pair of expensive running shoes. Oh, maybe I want to
join competitions and races.
Yeah,
and,
maybe I want to train.
And pay entry fees, and yeah.
Yeah, maybe I want to get clothes to look fashionable when I run, etc. I got another message from a listener. Woodworking. Why buy something when I can make it half as good for three times the price in a couple of months?
That's my point I was trying to make to my husband when I was telling him, like, around the holidays, like, I would love, like, some giant nutcrackers to sit on our porch,
sure.
Right? And
yeah.
I think they look majestic.
Yeah.
And I said, it's my dream to have giant nutcrackers on a porch. He's like, well, he keeps sending me all of these DIY videos.
Yeah, how to make them
your
yourself.
Own
yeah,
make giant them. Nutcrackers. And then when you investigate, it's like you're spending $150 on materials, and then you got to build the thing, and then you got to paint the thing, and then how long is that going to take? And then, yeah, no. I was like, I can just buy a new one for that cost.
Right.
And no labor.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Another person said fish keeping.
Fish keeping?
Yeah, like keeping fish.
It's like, are you talking like koi?
Like
koi ponds
or just,
like more
just,
extensive?
Well, but just, I thought I only needed one tank, but then that soon turned to two tanks.
Sure.
Now three.
Right. And you're not going to have just one fish.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And each fish has its own like little nuances, and it can only be fed this. And
little habitats.
Oh my gosh,
you gotta put the little things in the tanks. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Someone said cycling. I mean, I get cycling can be expensive, though, because, you know, a bike itself is expensive.
Oh, yeah, especially if you're getting a really good one.
Yeah,
a
good bike.
And you're competing, and then you got
and then you
got
to buy
gear,
the shoes
like the,
and the gear.
The bike clothes,
yeah,
the shoes,
yeah,
all that.
Well, and then the maintenance of a bike.
Oh, yeah.
And that ain't cheap. That ain't cheap. And then finally, someone's like, all of them, every single hobby turns expensive, because as soon as you get excited about it, if you fall down the rabbit hole,
you go all in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, anyways, good stuff there. It's 99.7 DJX. Harry Styles now, late night talking, and going to get to only about 30 today. Pretty chilly. It's DJX. Yeah, lows in the single digits tonight. 99.7 DJX. That's going to be cold. But yeah, good news is we have mounds and mounds of snow still hanging around. And
that's great. It's going to take months and months and months for that to completely go away.
Yeah, especially next week when I saw a... now, listen, I don't want Weinberg to get all angry at me for saying this.
Don't you post any weather models on his thread.
For mentioning some unverified weather models of snow. But it's saying that between January 18th and 24th, we could see yet another significant snowfall.
Don't you do it.
Oh, fun. That's fun. That's fun. Okay. So that's great. if you miss anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast. We were just talking about cheap hobbies. We had an earlier conversation about that. That was pretty funny. Then the group therapy, it really kind of motivated me to look more into inflatable hot tubs.
Yeah, you were like, you know what? These are way more affordable than I thought. If you're looking at actual hot tubs, like hot tubs, those are like $10,000, $15,000 to get some good ones. But the inflatable ones, much more affordable. And we kind of land on helping him just dive in? Let's take it for a test drive. You might end up liking it. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I know you think you can't afford it, but maybe it's something that you and your wife need right now.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He was like, now's not the time. We're strapped for cash. She's on maternity leave. I've been without a job. So all this. And he can't see the enjoyment in the gift. And so we were just like, hey, you know, dip the bits in and then, you know, try to enjoy a little bit. So
you always take it to the bits.
Dip the bits. All right. What
dip
else,
your
Kelly?
Whole body. That's it.
All right.
That's it.
Guys, have a good one. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.